listening to the Nerd News Network. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today is Saturday, May 2nd, 2015. Yes, I realize we are a little bit late with the Nerd News. We were supposed to have it yesterday, but just a unfortunate series of stupid events happened. And, well, the world keeps spinning, the sun is still shining, Twig is still on the air. Be thankful for that. So, going to address the big elephant in the room. First off, I haven't seen Age of Ultron yet. Well, yes and no, but that's neither here nor there. Me and Andrew Roebuck will be talking about it on Movie Madness on Monday. So be sure to stay tuned for our full spoilery review of Age of Ultron on Monday. I'm going with Blair Sunday night to go see it, hopefully in a fairly quiet theater, because we're going to the super late show, so I'm hoping I won't have to deal with stupid teenagers. So, other than that, hopefully you guys checked out our Mortal Kombat show this past week. It was a really fun topic to talk about, and for the month of May, we're going to talk about the history of home media, talking about stuff like Betamax, Blu-ray, and all sorts of digital and non-digital formats in between there. Should be a fairly interesting topic show, and a little more scientific slash academic than we're usually talking about, say, Mad Max or Cthulhu or something. Though we haven't done an H.P. Lovecraft show. I really should get around to doing that at some point. So, anyway, what are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to talk about Tesla's new household batteries, which is kind of a really neat thing. Kind of wish I had my own home for these. We're also going to talk about NASA's warp drive. It may actually work. We're going to talk about why going to Mars can make you go nuts. A unexpected piece of Star Wars history is canon, and yet other pieces aren't. We're going to find out what's going on with Michael Fassbender and the Assassin's Creed movie. And finally, if you lived in San Diego, did you see what happened on Tuesday of this week? I would love to hear more from it. So I guess let's kind of talk about from the top of the order here. We're going to talk about these new Tesla household batteries. So earlier this week, there was something unveiled called Tesla Energy. And what these things are, they're a set of batteries for homes and businesses. And, you know, it's kind of cool. Now, Elon Musk, the guy who's in charge of this stuff, said our goal is to fundamentally change the way the world uses energy. Which sounds crazy. Now, the cool thing is, he's invented this home battery called the Powerwall. There's one for a business called the Power Pack, and they're completely sustainable, zero carbon. Now, what this is the Powerwall increases the capacity of our house that already has solar panels, but it can be used during power outages. It can fit on the wall in your garage to power your Tesla if you happen to have one of those, but it can also power your house. So this thing, it's about 3 feet across, 4 feet tall, and 6 inches deep, comes with a 10-year warranty. Currently, these things are selling for about $3,500 for the 10-kilowatt version or $3,000 for the 7,000-kilowatt-hour version. They haven't made too much information available about the business version yet, but I imagine we'll find out what's going on there. Now, you can't get these things till later on this year, but supposedly it's already out in the real world. There's a few places in California that have them. There's a place called Solar City in California, which has 300 homes with these things. Walmart's got a few of them in California, and they're going to be talking about doing some processing plants for animals are going to have these business-grade batteries installed as well. This is kind of cool. Now, Elon Musk does have them at his own house, but not nearly enough to go off-grid yet. And where I live, in Ontario, Canada, our government just jumped the hydro rates, so it might be kind of nice to have a couple solar panels. In fact, this might actually be an interesting way for rental units to generate some extra income. Probably shouldn't be giving them ideas, but anyway. But yeah, still, this is kind of cool. Just the fact that these things work. They come in a variety of different colors, and we actually have some friends of the family here that work off geothermal power and geothermal heating, so this wouldn't be a bad investment for them to have these giant solar panels, or solar batteries, rather, on the side of their house. And, you know, like, once again, with the rising costs of energy and, you know, carbon emissions and all sorts of environmental stuff, I'm sure some of you care about, some of you don't, this would be a rather good idea to have around your house. So, I think that's neat. If I owned a home, I would most certainly be investing in these. If I could have the Tesla batteries power my studio, that would be kind of neat, actually. So, check those out. You can find out more information about those later on this year. They are called the Powerwall. Check them out. Find out. Okay, so we're going to step away from science for a little bit. And because today is Free Comic Book Day, yay! I didn't get a chance to participate because I'm here doing this. But turns out that an officially sanctioned model of Dash Rendar's ship known as the Outrider, which you may recognize from Shadows of the Empire, not just the video game, but the novel, was on display at Star Wars Celebration 2015. This means that this is officially canonical with Star Wars lore. However, though, that being said, it's noted that the other stuff may not necessarily be canon. So Dash Rendar, Prince Xizor, and the whole reason Luke got his new lightsaber may not necessarily be canon, which is kind of weird. So the Outrider was added to the background of Mos Eisley in A New Hope when they made the special edition theatrical release, which is kind of cool, because I've always loved the Outrider. I think it's a unique Corellian ship design, and Dash Rendar is just a fucking badass with his puffy vest. Very much Back to the Future-esque, but still. I like Dash Rendar, and I like, I can't remember, I think his buddy was called DJ88 or something, I don't know, it was something stupid. Or maybe it was Lebo, fuck if I know, it's been so long since I've played the video game or read the novel. But still, the fact that the Outrider is considered canon, that's kind of cool. Although, why that wouldn't include the rest of it, I'm not entirely sure. Because, as far as I'm concerned, it's the one expanded universe novel that didn't change things super radically. I mean, it introduced what happened and why Luke has a new lightsaber, why he built it. It describes how Leia got the bounty hunter outfit. And honestly, it was a pretty cool line of toys, actually. So, I don't know, Disney, what you thinking, man? I'd kind of like to know that, because reasons. Okay. So, the next story that I want to talk about, this is really, really, really cool. I'm actually going to read a good chunk of this from the article, so I don't get it wrong. But if this is true, then this is freaking amazing. So, NASA has tested its impossible engine that could potentially allow faster-than-light travel. So, in short, this thing could carry passengers to the moon in about 4 hours. And the potential's there for it to travel even faster than light. So the system works by bouncing microwaves around a closed container. The sun's energy provides electricity for microwaves, so no fuel is needed. Researchers said this previously wouldn't work in the vacuum of space. Engineers quietly revealed the results of a test to show otherwise on a forum. So, like I said, I'm just going to read you the article, or I'm actually going to try and find the more... Okay, here is basically how it works. The concept of an EM drive engine is relatively simple. It provides thrust to a spacecraft by bouncing microwaves around a closed container. Solar energy provides electricity to power the microwaves, which means no propellant is needed. Researchers have said this wouldn't work in vacuum of space, as I previously said. However, NASA has shown otherwise. For implications of this, current satellites could be half the size they are needed today because they don't need to carry fuel. Humans could travel farther in the space by generating their own propulsion. Because, you know, they don't need anything else but the sun. So, just thinking about what this could do is astounding. So, this has been going on since about 2000. This was like a concept. However, back in 2009, a team produced 720 millinewton, or 72 grams of thrust, enough to build a satellite thruster, but still no one believed that this had actually happened. So last year, Pennsylvania-based scientist Guido Fedda and his team at NASA Eagle Works published a paper that demonstrated a similar engine works on the same principles. Their model, they dubbed the CAN drive, produces much less thrust at 30 to 50 micronewtons, less than a thousandth of the output of some relatively low-powered ion thrusters used today. So, on NASAspaceflight.com, we can see some of this information. Those allegedly involved in the project claim the reason previous EM models were criticized is that none of the tests have been carried out in a vacuum. Physics says particles in the quantum vacuum cannot be ionized, so therefore you cannot push against it. But NASA's latest test claims to show an otherwise. NASA successfully tested their EM drive in a hard vacuum, the first time any organization has reported such a successful test. To this end, NASA Eagle Works has now nullified the prevailing hypothesis that the thrust measurements were due to thermal convection. However, the NASA's official site says there are many absurd theories that have become reality over the years of scientific research, but for the near future, warp drive remains a dream. However, that's pretty friggin' cool if you could pull this off. I mean, if anything, develop it in small so you could do this for like satellites and probes. I mean, you could catch up to comets like we've done recently. Instead of taking years, this thing could take months to weeks, depending on how things are going. We could send, I mean, if it takes, hell, you could reach Mars in a matter of months. Instead of like, I think it's like a 2-year trip, we could probably do the same thing for Venus. So that's pretty awesome if this works. Plus, the possibilities for space travel and colonization, and just who knows. But that kind of drops me into my next story, and this is a little bit more sad than what I want to admit, but hey. So, recently, Mars astronauts could potentially develop dementia on the way to the red planet. And that's dangerous space radiation, basically cosmic rays, kind of doing this. So, the University of California has found that exposure to highly energetic charged particles, much like those found in cosmic rays, can cause significant damage to the central nervous system, resulting in brain impairments. This is not positive news for astronauts deployed on a 2 to 3 year round trip to Mars, says Charles Limoy, professor of radiation oncology at UCI's School of Medicine. Performance decrements, memory deficits, and loss of awareness and focus during space flight may affect mission critical activities, and exposure to these particles may have long term adverse consequences to cognition throughout life. So at its closest orbit, Mars is around 34 billion kilometers from Earth, and it takes between 150 to 300 days to reach the red planet, depending on the speed of launch. So it means that simply traveling there and back, it's the astronauts being out there in the dangerous radiation levels for nearly 2 years, because we're past, the Lagrange point. So it's all cosmic radiation out there. So, this isn't good. Female astronauts are known to be more susceptible to space radiation and generally spend about 30% less time in space. To test the impact of these things, rats were exposed to fully ionized oxygen and titanium to simulate space radiation at NASA's Space Radiation Laboratory. The researchers found that exposure to these particles resulted in brain inflammation, which disrupted the transmission of signals among neurons. Imaging revealed that the brain's communication had been damaged by the reductions in the structure of nervous cells called dendrites and spines, and other alterations to synapses, which allowed neurons to communicate with each other. The rats also performed less well in tasks designated to testing, learning, and memory. While cognitive defects in astronauts would take months to manifest, Professor Limoy said the time required for a mission to Mars is sufficient for such deficits to develop. People working in the International Space Station do not face the same level of bombardment with galactic rays because they're still technically within the protective magnetosphere of the Earth, otherwise known as the Van Allen belt. Man, never even thought about this. I mean, I've heard of cosmic rays being a problem to human spaceflight, but usually we talk about using insulators like water could potentially do it, or literally developing that technology where they talk about shielding in Star Trek, because we don't really have that. We just put more and more crap between us and it. That's why, nuclear reactors and whatnot. It's not energy shielding. No, it's just layers of concrete, lead, and other stuff that's really hard to penetrate. And out there in the great vastness of space, God knows what kind of radiation is lurking out there. So, yet another hurdle for us to deal with. We'll get there, eventually, I'm sure. Sure as well, hell won't be on that Mars One project they were talking about. But that's a story for a different day. So, in something a little bit happier, let's talk about this. Michael Fassbender, Magneto, has said Assassin's Creed is going to begin shooting in September. So, speaking with ComingSoon.net, Fassbender said the movie is supposed to start shooting in September and is currently set for December 21st, 2016. However, though, Fassbender has pretty much not said anything else about the movie other than that he's starring with Macbeth co-star Marion Cotillard, and the film's director is Justin Kersal. Other than that, the story and the character remain a mystery. I mean, we don't know. Is he playing Desmond? Is he playing the new guy from Assassin's Creed Black Flag, whoever that is? Or Rogue? We don't know. And he says this. He says, you don't know that. Don't listen to what they tell you. That's the first rule. And he says, presumably implying that the Templars are spreading misinformation. And I don't know whether I want to see Altair's story, if I had to pick. Though ultimately, it would probably be the most logical place to start. But you think of the stuff that the next guy did, Assassin's Creed 2, whose name completely friggin' escaped, Ezio. You know, you figure what might happen in his story, or perhaps Connors, right? There's so much stuff to pull from. Although, like with me, Black Flag is where I started with the Assassin's Creed franchise and been working my way backwards. I don't know, but then again, Assassin's Creed Rogue is an unexpected gem, I think. I think it's one of the best games in the Assassin's Creed series that I've played so far. And Shay Cormac is just fucking badass. And the less we talk about Unity, the better. But still, next year, going to be competing against... I'm trying to think, what the hell is it going to be competing against next year? Star Wars is this year. So, I don't know. Still, that's neat. I'm looking forward to that. So, 2016 is going to be a damn good year for movies. Looking forward to Assassin's Creed. And finally, this one actually was reported by NBC San Diego, Channel 7, out there. And these mysterious lights were spotted downtown of San Diego on Tuesday night. A viewer, Larry Fox, sent in a bunch of photographs. I'm actually going to include the link to this so you can see this. And there happened to be a news crew and a photographer who were out covering something else. And they actually got some really good video of this. A lot of people have said it could be drones flying in formation. People are saying airplanes, radio towers, even balloons has been floated around. And I don't know. The fact that they sit there in formation for so long, not moving, kind of eliminates the possibility of a plane. Drones is possible, but they'd have to be those vertical takeoff and landing drones, like those like little helicopter drones. And for those lights to be visible from the ground and for them to be that intense, that's a lot of battery power to think about that, too. I mean, I guess if it's military, they have the technology, so to speak. But I don't know. And like I said, I've often said that I am a believer in the existence of extraterrestrials. Now, why they're buzzing San Diego, I couldn't tell you. But I don't know. I guess let the video speak for itself. If you're from the San Diego area, did you see this? Mike at thisweekingeek.net or the voicemail line, 817-717-7202. Tell me, did you see this? I'm very, very, very curious about this. A couple of years ago, I spoke with Alejandro from MUFON. Maybe it's time to follow up on that conversation. Maybe talk about the Roswell crash this year. Maybe for one of our future topic shows. So who's to say? I guess we'll have to find out if the truth is indeed out there. So hopefully you guys have had a fantastic free comic book day. May the 4th be with you on Monday. We'll be talking about Age of Ultron on Movie Madness. I should be doing a show with Jamie about Konami next week. I also got a bunch of interviews next week. People from Meowbox, Gamebox. I got a bunch of these subscription services that we're going to be talking to. And finally, we're going to be saying goodbye to one of our sponsors who's helped the show out over the last few years, helped me get dressed as well as I could for some of these conventions, and that's of BigAndTallMart.com. Mark over there has been a fantastic person to work with over the last few years. He's going to pursue other opportunities, and I sincerely wish him the best. He's been fantastic. Thank you for giving me clothes to cover my fat ass. I appreciate it, man, more than you'll probably ever know. So, guys, until next time, have a safe and happy Age of Ultron weekend. I know I'm going to. So until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next week, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. But ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.